This is the title of our message today, Connecting Vision. And if you remember, we talked about his vision, the vision of God for Shiloh, which was made up of four steps, right? Win, connect, train, and send. So today I want to focus on step number two, connecting vision. And if you can see it in this particular image, you see that there's both men and women, you know, and it really represents youth and children should all have critical key relationships, you know, that kind of like a homeroom that they go to, people around them that in times of difficulty, they will rally around them and keep them strengthened. So this particular slide shows the whole thing. So today, like I said, I'm going to focus on this. So if you want to show the win and connect slide, let me just say something. So going back to the God's vision for this house, it is not enough people that people are one to Christ, they must be connected to the body. Okay, once you receive Jesus, you know, as your Lord and Savior in your heart, you've confessed Him with your mouth. Amen. You believe that He is the only Savior and that God resurrected Him from the dead. The Bible says that you will be saved. You pass from death into life. You're given citizenship in heaven, as we sang today. And one day when you die, or if the Jesus comes back, you know, you're going to be with Him forever. Amen. That is it. But, you know, that is not the whole of man and women. You know, God wants us to move on beyond that. He wants us to, while we're on earth, to impact the community that we're in. So we got to move you into the connect phase. And so we really believe that this is comprised of four sub-steps. I'm going to talk about them real quick. Number one, verification of salvation. You know, oftentimes people make decisions based on emotion or just because everybody else is doing it. I'll raise my hand or I'll come to the altar. But we must base everything that we do in the church on truth. So that means that you should be asked through the scriptures, you know, to for you to process what it is that you just did. For example, are you believing that you are saved because of your works, or are you saved because of of God's grace? Does that make sense? That's a very important question. A lot of people think, well, I'm a really good person, I should go to heaven. Bad answer. You know, it needs to be because, you know, Jesus died on the cross. That's why we had communion today, right? Number two, sub-step, connection to a small group of believers. And I'm going to focus most of my message on this, but this begins right after salvation. Everyone must have critical friendships that keep you encouraged and protected. The third sub-step is, as you got to confront your past, you know, and have freedom from hindrances. And I should have a slide on this. I don't know if it's coming up. It's got the four sub-steps on there. I think everyone must have a revelation of the cross and receive deliverance ministry. You know, and obviously you receive it from pastors, elders, anointed leadership. And if you just give you a quick capsule of that, if you remember when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, right? He said, you know, Lazarus, you know, come out of the grave. If you remember, he was still tied up in his grave clothes and he could hardly move. You know, maybe he was just like hopping around, you know, trying to move out of the grave. But Jesus didn't go himself and try to unwrap him. He told, you know, some people around him, some of the friends and acquaintances, hey, you go in there and unwrap them and free them up. And that is a symbol of what must happen in every one of our lives. The reason why a lot of people get frustrated with their Christianity is because you're carrying on you still some old hang-ups, some stinking thinking, some bondages, some lies. And until God is able to remove the grave clothes from you through anointed ministry, you know, you're going to continue to struggle. That's why we, you know, firmly believe that everyone should go through a foundation course, that everyone should go through an encounter retreat, because you get really important ministry in your life that can help you remember. Now, that process is not going to end until the day, yeah, you know, we're like an onion. You know, you peel a layer and there's another layer. But however, those outer layers are the ones that are really hindering us from moving towards Jesus, to running, you know, freely. Okay, and the last sub-step of this is you got to find a place to serve. Everyone must find significance and their place in the body in order to stay well connected. Are we tracking that? Let me just say, I'm going to look this way. Everybody that's serving in some capacity of the church, just raise your hand. All right, you can put it down. Maybe you saw each other. So everyone should have a place to serve. There's plenty of things for us to do. Amen? You were born to serve and to impact the world around you. So these four elements must be in place in your life in one way or the other in order for you to be firmly planted and to put yourself in a place of assured growth. Because sometimes growth is stalled because we don't have one of these elements in place. But we all, the thing is that we will all find ourselves in a pit at one point or another. We'll have a serious problem or issue, you know, something like the Balsamos just went through. But it was nice that there was people around that rallied around them with prayer and love and care. And they would get notes, you know, and they would get flowers. And just a little phone could say, hey, I'm thinking of you. You know, I'm praying for you. And those are the little things that really go a long way to help us get through the difficult times. So every believer must build a structure of support and protection around himself or herself. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Can everybody say amen to this? Come on, we cannot give up meeting together, being well connected with one another, and meaningful relationships. So I'm going to share with you a biblical story that really illustrates this point, you know, of a believer who found himself in a pit, but if it wasn't for the compassion, the intercession, and the actions of a group of other men, he would have succumbed and he would have died. Ready? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 6 to 13. And let me just set it up for you. In this passage, Jeremiah has been a faithful mouthpiece of God. He's a man of God. He loves God. But even he needed to be connected. Serving God where he could, warning the people, and he was preaching unpopular words. And it says here that the prince around the king did not like him and spoke lies to the king. So the king listened to these princes and said, go ahead and dispose of him. So what did they do to Jeremiah? They threw him in a pit, a deep pit of mud, and he began to sink. There was no food, there was no water, you know, and if he would have stayed there long enough, he would have died. But let's see what happens right here in verse 6. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchias, this king's son, which was in the court of the prison, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. That's mud. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Now, Ebed-Melech, however you pronounce it, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from here 30 men with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes and old rags and led them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits under the ropes. And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes and lifted him out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Point number one for today's message is a connected vision is all about compassion. What is compassion? It's feeling your brother and your sister's passion or feeling their pain. God moved with compassion upon the heart of Ebed-Melech. And he was a servant. And he was unique. Actually, he was a eunuch. But he was also unique. He was seen as less than a man, if you think about it. He was seen as less than a man. He was not looked highly in society. Right? He was a servant. But it's amazing how God can move through anyone. And if it wasn't for Ebed-Melech, Jeremiah would have died a sure death. So moving with compassion and boldness, he reached out to the king. He could have gotten in trouble for this, but he risked his own life, and he said, I got to speak to the king on behalf of Jeremiah, because God had moved in his heart with compassion. That's what compassion does. It'll move you to do things you never thought you would. You know, he inconvenienced himself, and he sought out the king, and he said, hey, we got to do something about this. Jeremiah is going to die. They lied to you. This is not right. He's a man of God. So this represents how God moves upon a person to intercede and act on behalf of those they're connected to. So the king told him to get 30 men to, and to go and lower ropes covered with old clothes and rags to save Jeremiah's life. And this is God's strategy for us today. Point number two of today's message, everyone needs critical relationships. Everyone. It doesn't matter who it is here, there's no lone rangers in this place. There's some of you that are very able, very capable, but all of us, doesn't matter who, we will all have a down moment. We will have a moment of crisis. We will have a moment where we need somebody around us. And sometimes our pride has gone in the way, we push people away, but in the moment when we need them, they're not there for us because we have not developed, you know, critical relations. We have not had a connecting vision. Every woman, every man, every youth, every child should have critical relationships that God can mobilize on a moment's notice. Everyone needs a band of brothers or a band of sisters. God wants us to have a connecting vision, to be well connected and to connect others, to join them up. And that happens from the moment they give their life to Jesus. We must mobilize. We must love people no matter who they are and what they represent. And notice that it was a man helping another man. There's something to be said about being connected in homogeneous groups that have similar attributes, pursuits, and needs. Men should help connect other men. Women should help connect other women. Youth should help connect other youth. Amen? It doesn't have to be that way, but it's important. It makes it easier when we do it like that. You know, we have groups like mothers of preschoolers. They have something that holds them together, MOPS. Well, they all have little ones, so they're able to encourage one another. And I've seen it where my wife would say, hey, get in the car, we're going to take this food to someone's house out in the middle of nowhere. You know, I don't even know these people, but that's okay. She knows them, and I know what she's doing. She said, we're going to take some food because they had just had a baby, and they need somebody to help them. And so it's nice to have somebody connected to you like that. It could be professionals. You know, like at work, we have a Bible study, you know, and that keeps us connected. But there's other symbolism in this story. It says that a rope was sent down. A rope was sent down. What this means is we cannot be judgmental of people. We must reach out to people right where they're at. There will be times for exhortations later. It can be, I told you so. See, if you hadn't done that. I warned you. Hey, bring them into the fold. Love on them. Heal them. And then later lovingly correct them. Amen? There's a way to do that. You got to extend the rope to people. Also, it says that to protect the underarms, chest, and armpits of Jeremiah, they use old clothes and rags. It's kind of funny that they did this. And it says in the scripture that our best works of righteousness are like filthy rags. And to me, this speaks of our humanity. We reach down to those struggling and we put on humility and compassion because we have been there at some point. You don't have to have it all together also to stand by your brother or your sister. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be there. You just have to be there. How amazing it is when somebody's at the hospital and you see somebody walk in. Hey, you know, I just came to see you. Or hey, here's some flowers. Or hey, I don't have much, but I just wanted to stand by you for a little bit. You know, that warms the person's heart. Matthew 25, it tells us that Jesus commended people. It says, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was in jail, you came to visit me. I was sick, and you came to visit me. Those little things mean a lot to people. That's how we connect people to the body of Christ. Amen? We link arms with one another, and we lift up our brother and sister out of the mire, out of the mud. And I can say it's been a blessing to see how many of you have gathered around my family and I in our time of need. When we felt in the pit, when we felt in the mire and sinking, you reached down to us lovingly and you held us up with intercession and compassion. And I applaud you guys. Thank you for what you've done. You can give yourselves a hand. Thank you. I love how our Monday night connection group, yeah, we have a Monday night Bible study group that we've been meeting for years. And this team has just rallied around us. You know, just recently somebody had surgery and once again they all mobilized and said to start bringing them meals. You see the love and how encouraged they are when that happens. But I want to tell you that in order for you to have connections, you also need to be a friend to people. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Let me say that again. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Come on. In this American, independent, Lone Ranger, I can do all things, you know, kind of society, you know, we like to have our land and live away from people, you know. It's like we're saying we don't need other people. But I want to tell you that God designed us to be gregarious. He made us to be in relationship. He made us to be connected. He didn't give any one person all the revelation. He didn't give any one person, you know, all the truth, because he wanted us to complement each other. And I want to tell you, my wife and I, we complement each other very much. We're so different, but I'm so glad for her giftings. She definitely makes me look good. Obviously, she looks better than I do, you know, so... And she's a bit younger than I am, too, so I appreciate that. Yeah. Sometimes I'm tired, and, you know, but remember, I'm a bit older than you, you know. She doesn't let me off the hook. Just yesterday, she was like, maybe you need to start running or something. So thanks. I didn't get any compassion on that time. I want to tell you, there's a time to sow, and there's a time to reap. And most of the time you think, oh, I don't need people. But there will be a time when you will need them, and they will not be there if you haven't sown into friendships. If you sow friendliness, you will reap it when you need it. Obviously, even Milik loved Jeremiah and was grateful for him. Some of you have been hurt, and maybe others of you are introverts, but there are ways still to sow into critical friendships. For your own good, you need to get out of yourself and to sow into others. Don't be that person that always comes with a need. You know, the Proverbs tells us, hey, there's a proverb, and I can't remember exactly how it says, but it basically says, don't spend all day at your neighbor's house because eventually they're going to hate you. Like Urkel, or what was his name? Time to go home, Urkel. You know, if you do that, it doesn't matter how nice you are, if you spend all day at your neighbor's house, eventually they're going to resent you. And there's some people, you know, we want to love on people, we want to pour out compassion, we want to serve them, but there's some people, you know, and obviously I'm not naming any names, but every time we see them, it's like, I have a need, feed me, take care of me, you know, I need. That's from a movie, by the way. And so it is okay. We want to help you, but it'd be nice once in a while if you helped out others, if you loved on others. Like I said, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together for you to help people. You know, if you don't have money, there's other things you can do. You can volunteer your time. You know, you can share a meal. You can, whatever you have, you know, sow into critical relationships. Make yourself available, because there will be a time where you will need those people around you. Amen? Don't be a lone ranger. Tell the person next to you, don't be a lone ranger. And tell a young person next to you, you probably don't know who that is, but that's okay. I'll explain it to you later, who the lone ranger is. You're going to have to play the William Tell overture and all that. Oh, no, that's a different one. Wait. All right. Point number three, you cannot afford to not be well connected. And I'm just going to give you some stats real quick. And I'm almost done. You know what that means, right? It means he still has a ways to go. In 2014, a Pew Research conducted a study of 35,000 adults. And in this study, they found that there were seven main reasons why people felt welcome at church. And I'm going to hit on four of them. Or connected in church. Obviously, number one, quality of sermons. So I got to work on that. 83% of people said that. 79% of people said feeling welcomed by the leaders. It's important that the leadership are friendly and reach out to others, obviously, right? But look at the next two I'm going to share. Having friends and family in the congregation was 48%, and availability of volunteering opportunities was 42%. So basically, the bottom line here is that nearly 50% of the people say that they enter a church will stay in the church not only because of the quality of the sermons or being welcomed by leadership, but also because they're connected to friends and family and because they're connected through volunteer opportunities. We need to be well connected. Another poll by the Barna Research Group, if you heard of them, you know, in 2008, began to see different kinds of Christians. So this is just Christians. and classify them in America. This has happened about 10 years ago, but it still holds true, that the church landscape had changed, if you know, looking back 50 years or something like that. Some people attend conventional church. This would be considered conventional church. Some home churches, you've heard of home churches. There's a big movement of people that just have churches in homes. There's online churches. Did you guys know that? There's a church called Live.Church. The Bible app people, they do have a conventional church, but they also have an online church. Okay? And then there's the people that blend it all. They go to conventional church, they get some stuff online, you go, they have stuff at home, you know, and they're just sampling here and there, you know, going all over the place. So the research was based on this question: which one of these have you attended in the last month? Check this out. 56% of the people said they went to a conventional church in the last month. 23% of the people said they were unattached. People who don't attend conventional church, they don't attend home churches, they don't attend online churches, but who still consider themselves Christians. So unattached means not connected, right? There was another group called the intermittents. 15% of them, they're under church. They went to either conventional or some kind of other organic faith in the last year, but had not done so in the last month. So they had been to some kind of church in the last year, but not in the last month. Then there was call them the homebodies. Homebodies, you know, there's some of them. 3%, not attending conventional church during the past month, but at some kind of a house church meeting, okay? And then there was the blenders. They call them the blenders. The 3%, conventional church and a house church experimenting with new ways of faith community. So you see, most are conventional, but there was a huge segment of people completely unattached, and some of them were kind of partially attached. And just kind of flailing, if you want to think about it. But this is what they also found out from this research. All the groups mentioned have a certain degree of connection, but they found that the unattached group were the most vulnerable. Compared to regular churchgoers, the unattached people are, number one, more likely to feel stressed out, less likely to be concerned about the moral condition of the nation, much less likely to believe that they're making a positive difference in the world, less optimistic about the future, far less likely to believe that the Bible is totally accurate in its principles. Unattached people are substantially more likely to believe that Satan and the Holy Spirit are symbolic figures, but not real. Unattached people are more likely to believe that Jesus Christ sinned while he was on earth. They're also more likely to believe that the holy literature of the major faiths all teach the same principles, even if they use different stories. So we say, hey, it's all the same. You know, syncretism or just, hey, they're all roads lead to Rome kind of thing. And the last one, unattached people are less likely to believe that a person can be under demonic influence. Are you seeing the pattern here? God has called us to be connected. And it can't just be, I want to tell you, the Sunday experience. You know, you need to be connected to a small group of believers, your homeroom, your home connection group, you know, whatever flavor. Could celebrate recovery, you know, call it a prayer group, call it a Bible study group. It doesn't matter. You need to be connected with the people and have strong relationships. They need to start becoming your best friends, because there will be a time when you will need it. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's another scripture that says that faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There's a time when all of us will go astray. I don't care who you are. And you will need somebody to come alongside of you and tell you, hey, brother, I love you, and that what you did, that was not right. You know? A pastor used to say, can I have your permission to wound you? So if I come to you and say, do I have your permission to wound you? You know it's coming, right? You're getting your whooping. No, I'm just kidding. I really believe that you spend time praying for people, you know, or the more time you spend praying for people, the less time you spend rebuking, you know. So I'd rather be praying than rebuking, okay, even though all of us need other people to help us with discipline. I don't know if you remember saying that before. All discipline always starts from without. You always need a drill sergeant in your life to get you going with disciplines. Later on, you can do them on your own. Right? For all those in the military, at first somebody told you when to do PT. Eventually somebody said, PT is on your own. Because you know you got to test every so many weeks. You know, so you're on your own. You know what you'll need. Right? So the same way, you always need someone to help you. And so being connected with a strong believer in a connection group will help you to do that. And will avoid all these pitfalls that we just read. So believers who are unattached are easy prey for the enemy. And the enemy does believe in divide and conquer. And also, the Bible teaches that unity brings strength and multiplication. And so we cannot afford to be picked off by the enemy. We don't want you to be picked off. Where we're going, we need everyone in vital relationships that become vision centers, that become serving communities, that become a hub of protection and restoration for the struggling believer. When these are in place, multiplication naturally happens because the body reproduces when it's healthy. That's just the way that God has designed things. So I'm asking you today, are you ready to be connected? Are you ready to be connected? Next week, I will spend more time talking about the other four substances, about the verification of salvation. I'll talk a little more about, you know, being ministered to, you know, and deliverance, and being introduced to the Holy Spirit. If you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, He is a person, and He needs to become your best friend. You need to wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. How you doing? I am yours today. What do you have in store for me today? You know, you should begin that way. So I'm encouraging you to do that if you haven't done that. Talk to the Holy Spirit because He is with you at all times. Amen? And I finish with a Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Let me say that again. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those that are well-rooted and connected in the house of the Lord, they're going to flourish. Amen. Do you want to flourish this morning? Come on, let's stand to your feet as we close. I can tell you that I stand here and I consider myself to be victorious. You know, and like Paul said in Ephesians, after all is said and done, I can stand is because I was well connected. Because I've always had godly men and women speaking into my life. And I sought them out at times that I did not need them, so they would be there for me when I did need them. Amen. And I count Pastor Joseph as my friend. I count Pastor Jim as my friend, obviously my parents, and also Pastor Atticus and other leaders here that I've just sought out in times of need. And they've been able to encourage me and to pray for me. You know, I remember one time going to an elders meeting and I said, I'm not feeling good. And I said, hey, Eric just said here, we're going to pray for you. You know, even though I was supposed to be the leader of the group, you know, they said, no, we're going to pray for you. It's nice to have a people that can rally around you and just love on you in your time of need. Come on, we all need that. So get connected. Pursue it. Find it. I know that we have one more connection group that's going to be starting. I'm with Justin and Leah Allen. We're in the process of, you know, getting all that squared away. But just know there will be more opportunities. The idea is that there will be so many opportunities during the week that you'll find a place, you know, that has an affinity for you. You know, I really feel connected to these people. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, for you to get plugged in a place where you just don't feel right. You know, I want you to be in a place where you just feel at home. You feel loved and accepted, and you can be yourself. And you can tell people exactly how you're doing, and they're not going to judge you. You know, they're just going to love on you. Yes, they will lovingly correct you as needed, but come on, we all need this. And by the way, let me just say this. Families are the ideal connection group. It's already there. When mother and father, have the same vision and they love Jesus, you know, it's the best place for children to be connected and to flourish. Come on. Amen? So don't discount families as connection groups. That's the original connection group. All right? Come on. That's the best place for ministry right there is the family. So keep those families strong. Keep praying for your children. Even when you think, where's this going? I'm telling you, my daughter, little one, she's crazy. It's just all over the place. So, I have a funny story. Last night, I wasn't in Tucson. You know, she and my other daughter stayed with my wife in Tucson and with my mother at the Ronald McDonald House. And I think my daughter kind of lost track of things that I wasn't there. And so in the middle of the night, she got up and she went into my mother's bed thinking that it was me. And so she woke up, you know, like kind of hugging my mother. She had never, ever done that. You know, and everybody's like, wow. But then she woke up, she goes, where's daddy? Where's daddy? You know, but when she's asleep, I lay hands on her and I say, fill this child with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. She's just like I was when I was a kid. She needs you, God. She needs you, Lord. You know, minister to your children. Come on. All right. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to sing one more song. We're going to open the altar. You know, whatever you need, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, just come on up. Just come on up. We'll be glad to pray with you. The fourth, you know, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What do you want out of life? Take it. Take it by force. You know, the one that, oh, should I go up and get prayer? If you need prayer, come on up and get it. Amen? There's some people that just want to love on you and impart a gift from God on your life as they lay hands. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your faithfulness, Lord God. We worship you, Father. I pray that you would help us to stay connected in the body of Christ. Thank you for all these opportunities that we have and all the amazing things coming in the future, Lord God. Father, we pray even now you would prepare hearts for the Easter season, Lord God, Father, that not only they would know Jesus as the Savior, but Lord God, Father, they would be connected to the body of Christ. It doesn't have to be here, Lord God. Any church, Lord God, in America, any church in the world will do, but Lord God, Father, touch them right where they're at, we pray. Lord God, and I pray for all those that might be struggling here, Lord God, Father, Holy Spirit, stir their hearts so that they will come up and receive what they need. In Jesus' name, to you be the glory. Amen.